Good evening, everybody. You are watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm very excited. I am excited to be with you tonight. An historic night. And you know what we're talking about on Casual Friday here. Got a great show for you tonight. Casual Friday show. No necktie, Hawaiian shirt. We are talking tonight about the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead. She's done. She's finished. And it's epic. And it is totally awesome. And we're celebrating tonight. I had a show lined up and everything. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because she's dead now. And it's Trump season again. And I'm feeling like it's Trump country again. This is Trump Nation. Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies and Donald Trump laughs. Liberals die and God laughs. And it's awesome. I'm putting my MAGA hat back on. I just broke my headphones. Care. I get one. I'll have one can. I don't care. It does not matter to me. Because this is epic. Because it is awesome. I'll just put this one back here. All right. I'll turn the music. Yes, okay, all jokes aside, we got a great show for you tonight. We're hanging out. It's going to be a casual Friday. I'm just going to turn it off. I've heard that. I have been listening to that on repeat for like an hour and a half, like an hour and 15 minutes. So it's not even that it's loud anymore. It's that I've been hearing it for 75 minutes, which is too long. So I'll switch over. So I might as well, since that's off, I'll switch over to the other microphone here because now I got this thing broken. Love it. Great sight. Love it. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Whatever. It's fucking, these things are stupid anyway. They fucking break all the time. Okay, so we got a great show for you tonight. Little different, obviously. Little different than what we normally do. Normally, I'm doing the show with the big camera, and we might switch over at some point, but it's a breaking news story, so it's a little bit of a different show tonight because it's breaking, and I was all lined up today to talk about a few stories, but then I think it was like 6:30, 6:40, the news broke, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead, and so I started tweeting. I've been tweeting then for like an hour. I'm going to take the hat off. Don't want to mess up my hair. I've been tweeting now for about an hour. You might have seen I deleted a lot of them because they would have gotten me banned. Because they were like, you can't glorify people's deaths on Twitter. That's against the TOS. That's a tip, by the way. If any of you guys are trying to avoid a Twitter ban today, do not leave anything up that glorifies the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg because it's against the TOS. So if you're going to tweet something like that, delete it. Or just don't tweet it at all. But anyway, so I was tweeting for about the past hour, tweeting in all caps and everything, and having a great time on the timeline. And now here I am, and we're going to go over some of what just happened. Of course, as I've been saying, the big news is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead. And we're going to talk about it. It's awesome. And I'll talk about why that is. I'll talk about what happens next. I'll talk about why it's awesome. And we'll get into it, but it's going to be a great show. Very exciting. Like I said, it's a casual Friday show, so we're going to be cruising around on the timeline and looking at some content, looking at some late or some breaking news stories pertaining to this. For example, talking about what some of the Republican senators have said since the news broke about whether or not they'll vote for a substitute, right? Whether or not they'll vote for a nominee that Trump puts up before the election. And of course, what the administration is going to do. I guess the news is that the Trump administration will put forward a nominee. So we'll talk about all of that, and it should be an exciting show. Very good news, you know, and I've been complaining for the past couple of weeks, saying there's nothing happening in the news, nothing's going on. I'm going to bring this a little lower so it's not as echoey. Can you see that? Is that in the frame? I guess it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I guess it's a little bit in the frame. Let me move it up a bit. Okay. Should I do that? I just want you to hear me, because I know sometimes when I'm using the other camera, it's a little bit more difficult here. So, like I said, for the past few weeks, I've been saying nothing's happening in the news, slow news week, it's Corona, it's Iran, it's Black Lives Matter, it's riots, it's looting, and then it feels like it's all slowed down. I said probably the next big thing will be the election. The debates, which are at the end of this month, the debates in October, and then we'll have the election and probably like a civil war or something like that. Either way, they will challenge the legitimacy of the election and so on. So I've been saying, when is there going to be another good story? When can we talk about something? And then lo and behold, here we are, a little meme magic. A little meme magic after our Groiper War last night and Ruth Bader Ginsburg dead. And I know everybody was celebrating on the timeline. I was actually a little upset with Scott Greer. I am celebrating all over the timeline, and I'll pull up my timeline right now just so you know what I'm talking about. So I'm on the timeline. I'm posting fucking meme magic. Bye. Bye. You know, goodbye. That's a live picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg right now. Trump laughing. Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies. Trump laughs. I say, she slaughtered babies, which is true. Jaden McNeil, little tweet, says, no conservatives. I will not mourn a demonic evildoer whose life was dedicated to murdering unborn children. A little keck, a little meme magic, a 2016 check. Ha 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 ha, Trump, bitch. Yes, Trump. This is Trump Nation, Revenge of the Baby. So I'm going off. I'm having a great time. Everyone's having a great time. And I'm in the group chat. And Scott Greer, ever since it happens, is like, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. Who do you think Trump will nominate? Is it going to be this one? Is it going to be Ted Cruz? What about Josh Hawley? Oh, another senator says, it's like, shut up, Scott. Shut up. Shut up. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died after being alive for a million years. We're about to repeal Roe v. Wade, end abortion genocide, end Obamacare, end gay marriage. We're ending everything. We're ending liberalism. And it's awesome. And it's me magic. We all have all these nerds on Twitter. Well, naturally, politically, I wonder what the implications are. Can we have fun? I'm trying to have fun. So anyway, so that's what happened. But to get into it, to get into the topic tonight, there are two major reasons why I'm psyched about this. And the first is the obvious. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for as long as she's been alive, at least for the past couple of decades, has been a human bulwark against repealing Roe v. Wade in particular. And when I say that I'm celebrating and I'm not mourning, it's because of that. For all the conservatives that are out there tonight, or anybody for that matter, saying that it's not classy or it's not appropriate to celebrate when someone dies, consider that tens of millions, possibly hundreds of millions of babies have been aborted and killed because she stood in the way of a conservative court repealing or overturning Roe v. Wade. And she knows that, and everyone knows that. She wouldn't resign from the court after getting cancer multiple times and getting sick in her advanced age because she knew that if she stepped down, a conservative would be appointed and abortion would be overturned. She knew that, and she said as much, and that's why she held on for dear life, no pun intended,
to her seat on the court for that reason, so that babies could continue to be killed while she protected this terrible judicial precedent. So that's why I celebrate. That's why it's awesome, right? And of course, now that she's out of the way, this paves the way for a conservative court. Arguably, we had a conservative court before Ginsburg died. Arguably, it was 5-4 conservatives versus liberals. But we found that time and time again throughout this year, we've covered many Supreme Court cases that have come down on the side of the liberals on the court because the Chief Justice Roberts now sides with liberals most of the time, formerly conservative and now siding with liberals. And even Neil Gorsuch sometimes siding with the liberals. So maybe it's not fair to say that it was 5-3 so much as it was, you know, I guess 4-4, and then there's one that sometimes goes either way. Now that Ginsburg is out of the way, it clears the way for a unabashedly, unambiguously conservative court. Really having five justices that are conservative against three, or rather, it would be six, right? If you replace Ginsburg, it would be six. I guess five plus Roberts sometimes against three liberals. And that makes it so that overturning Roe v. Wade becomes possible. Overturning gay marriage. Overturning countless things. It's huge. Overturning challenges to the Second Amendment or blocking challenges to the Second Amendment, blocking challenges to the First Amendment, protecting religious liberty. I mean, you name it. This is a huge deal. This paves the way for another Kavanaugh, somebody who's truly conservative, getting on the court and creating, you know, not a situation where we're dependent on a swing vote, but something that we can count on and that's reliable. That's the first reason why this is awesome and exciting. And those are huge issues, because ultimately what it comes down to in this country these days, if we can't ever win the House of Representatives again, if the presidency and the Senate are very challenging in the years to come, if we can solidify our control over the Supreme Court, that may be one of the last stands for our civil liberties. And that may count one day. In a hypothetical future Democratic administration, you might get to the point where there will be real challenges to our First Amendment and even being able to say the things that I'm saying without being arrested. I mean, we know that you can't say these things on the internet without getting deplatformed, demonetized, fired, etc. But we're talking about challenges to the First Amendment where you could be put in jail for saying these things. And then the same goes for challenges to the Second Amendment where we will not be able to protect ourselves against the mob and the rioting and all of that. And the list goes on and on. So it's hard to overstate what a huge deal, what a huge benefit comes our way politically that she is cleared out of the way. And hopefully for a conservative judge to take her place. But that is only one benefit. I know that's the most obvious. I know that's the one that everybody's talking about. But of course, we know that the secondary benefit is what comes after the election. And this is maybe something that people haven't thought about yet. People haven't thought very strongly about. But it's something we've been talking about on this show for the past few weeks or so. We've been talking about how the real battle is not even necessarily this election. It is the legal battle and political battle that will come after the election. We know that on November 3rd, that is when most people will vote, but we have heard now that votes will be counted in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and other places days and sometimes weeks after the election, depending on where when they're mailed in. But we will be seeing states, swing states, not giving us a final tally until November 10th, November 17th, all the way through the month. And then the battle will commence over, was the voting legitimate? Is there legitimacy to the process? And of course, you'll have lawyers from both campaigns debating, and this will be very contentious. I'm sure there will be civil unrest over this. People will be in the streets. And ultimately, whatever comes after the election, whatever the outcome is, whether it's ballot fraud or they try to steal it by suing or there's some kind of secession crisis, who knows? Maybe Trump is able to pull it off and secure all the electoral votes by winning the contests in enough states. But what happens if the states don't send their electors to Washington, D.C. to actually formally vote for the president? What happens if Trump is inaugurated and it's still contentious and some states begin to secede. Well, ultimately, then, a lot of these questions may come down, like I said, whatever the outcome is, if it's contentious, it may ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court. And you have to think that if it was 5-4, or maybe 4-4 plus Roberts, it is very uncertain, it is highly uncertain what the outcome would be in the event that a decision was passed over to the Supreme Court about who's going to become the next president, and then therefore who will dictate how the next century will go, how the next decade, how the next century will go. If the left gets in now, it's over for us. If Donald Trump stays in, if the Supreme Court gives it to him, if that's the trajectory that we're on, then we still have a window of opportunity to hold back the night. So it's a huge decision. With Ginsburg out of the way, now you've got a court that's 4-3 plus Roberts. You know, maybe that's 4-4, whatever. But if Trump can get another judge in there, not only does he stand a chance at overturning Roe v. Wade and everything like that, but also that is going to be extremely consequential if and whenever the presidential election is decided, if that winds up in the hands of the Supreme Court. So it is a huge deal, politically, tactically, and this is a decision that will affect, like I said, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say this, this is an event that will decide the next 100 years. The rest of this century hinges upon this moment, Ginsburg dying at this time, and what will come next, if someone will be appointed or whatever. And this leads me to another observation, another thought about what has happened since Ginsburg died just 2 hours ago or a few hours ago. I see so many conservatives are already saying that they will not vote for a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Republican senators and a lot of conservative commentators are now saying that we cannot select a replacement, we cannot vote in a replacement for Ginsburg because that just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be fair. The argument goes something like this. In 2016, before the presidential election, of course, Antonin Scalia died or was killed. I think he was probably killed. But Antonin Scalia, whether he was killed or whether it was something else, he was no longer in the picture. And Barack Obama famously nominated Merrick Garland to replace him. And Merrick Garland was thought to be the moderate choice. He was a choice that was less offensive to Republicans than other liberals. And this was a very strategic play. And the expectation was if Antonin Scalia died well before the election, but during the election year, it would be appropriate for a Republican-controlled Senate at that point that they would have had to hold a vote on Merrick Garland becoming a justice. And they wouldn't do it. Mitch McConnell would not allow a vote on Merrick Garland. He said that the next president has to decide. It's an election year, and so the election should be a referendum on the court, and then whoever wins the election will get the justice, whether that's Clinton or whether that's Trump. At that point, they didn't even have nominees, but that was the going logic. So now in 2020, the argument goes something like this. Well, Mitch McConnell wouldn't give a vote for Merrick Garland in 2016, so it's only right that with just a month and a half before this election, Mitch McConnell cannot hold a vote on whatever nominee Trump puts up now, because it just wouldn't be fair. He didn't do it for Obama from the opposing party, for Merrick Garland in 2016. So if we're doing the right thing and being consistent, he cannot do it for Donald Trump in 2020. It wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. And, you know, I really love that so many people are saying this because this just illustrates a concept that I have been trying to impress upon you, upon this audience, for months and years, which is we cannot afford to care about being fair. We cannot afford to care about thinking about what's consistent and doing the right thing and anything like that. We have to win at any cost. Us winning is always good, and them losing is always good. And that is the only thing that you need to know about politics. What is good for us is good. What is bad for them is good. That's what we need to know. There's nothing about this fairness or civility or the integrity of the procedure or following the rules. And I'll tell you why that is. It's because, and in case you don't understand this, in case you've been living under a rock for the past 3 months or 4 years, we're in a civil war. And the people on the other side are not our compatriots. These are not friends of ours. These are people who have a diametrically opposite view for what this country should be on issues that really matter. These people on the other side, they don't just think that we should have higher taxes. They don't just think that we should maybe have a more internationalist foreign policy. They want drag queens in public schools. They want to abort millions of babies, post-birth, late term. It doesn't matter to them. These people, if they had it their way, would have you fired from your jobs. They would have you removed from social media. They would take away your right to vote. Look at what Barack Obama did when he was president. He stripped away conservative nonprofits, their nonprofit status. He went to gun manufacturers and bullet manufacturers and, using the EPA, closed down their factories. Remember this? They have contempt for our way of life. They have contempt for us. And if they succeed, we will be wiped out, our country, our inheritance, our traditions, along with us. And that is why any kind of idea that we are supposed to show these people some kind of fairness or consideration or goodwill or good sportsmanship, we're not playing a sport, we're in a war. And anything that we offer them is a concession, it's a surrender for them to make our lives worse and for them to hurt our country and our children further. And I should add, any goodwill that we show them will not be reciprocated, maybe more importantly than anything else. Everybody that talks about fairness and anything like that, do you think for a minute that a gesture of goodwill towards Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and people like Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow and all these other characters, do you think for a second, for a moment, that anything that we could show them as far as sportsmanship goes will be reciprocated towards us? These people are ruthless, cold-blooded killers. And you know that by their policy, you know that by their politics. And so not only does it make no sense to help people, that their mission every day when they wake up is to destroy our way of life, but more than that, anything that we could show them as far as sportsmanship will not be returned in kind. If anything, if we give them any kind of weakness or vulnerability, they will take an opportunity to stab us in the back. Mark my words. For example, I mean, what do you think is going to happen in this case if we were to say that we're not going to put up a nominee for the court, or we're not going to hold a vote on a nominee for the court before the election? What do you think the turn of events will be? Well, the election will happen. Democrats will steal it, right? I mean, we know this. They will stuff the ballots with fake mail-in ballots. And even if that doesn't work, they'll not send the electors, or they'll threaten to secede. They will do everything in their power to steal the election. And then when Joe Biden gets elected president, probably he'll step down. Kamala will step up. And we'll say, that's not fair. You can't do that. They voted for Joe Biden. They'll say, we don't care. Kamala becomes the president. And watch, she would probably nominate 5 court justices. She'd probably pack the court with ultra-leftists. She'd probably put Chapo Trap House in the court, or Bernie Sanders, or I don't even know, worse than that, probably George Soros and Bill Gates on the Supreme Court, might as well, and fill up the entire administration with people like that. And they take your guns, they take your speech, they take your kids, they put you on drugs or something, or put you in jail, and that's how they play. And we would be in jail, or we'd be have some kind of estrogen IV being pumped into our veins so that we're not racist anymore. And we'd be thinking to ourselves, well, at least we did the right thing. At least we were fair. At least, you know, we played by the rules and we followed the procedure. Nobody can say that we did the wrong thing. And I refuse to accept this. We have to seize the opportunity. We have to press the advantage. And we have to be as ruthless as they are. So that's why we have to hold the vote. But the reason we're in this format tonight, instead of me being in front of the screen, I wanted to show you some of these news reports here. So there's a couple of things going on. We have to look at the dynamic here, where you've got now the Republicans in the Senate, because the way that the process goes, if you're not certain about this, is this. Now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead, constitutionally, there's no actual set number of justices on the court. Historically, we've had 9. But there, in the Constitution, is no limit. There's no quota on how many or how few justices should be on the court. But because a justice has died and now there's only 8 as opposed to 9, the expectation is that her seat will be filled. So the way this goes is the president is supposed to nominate a judge. The Senate will review the judge. They'll hold hearings like they did with Kavanaugh. Was that last year or 2 years ago? They'll review, right? They'll question, they'll hold the hearing, and then they'll hold a vote. And then if the Senate, with a majority, votes to confirm the judge, then obviously the judge will take a seat on the court. So we have to look at, as far as what comes next, what the president is going to do and then what the Senate is going to do, specifically the Senate Republicans. We've got a very slim majority on the Senate. So if we were to get a judge through, we would really need every single Republican to vote. You know, because that's the problem with the last midterm election. We didn't do so great in the Senate. We could have done very good. We didn't do so hot. I think we're at 52 votes. So if you need a majority of 51, I mean, you really can't have more than one or two Republicans sit this one out. So we have to look at if Senate Republicans will vote for a Trump nominee, if they'll hold a floor vote, specifically the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. And then we have to look at Trump. So this is from NBC. It does say that we're going to get a vote. It says that Donald Trump is going to put forth a nominee and Mitch McConnell is going to hold the vote. So that's what this says. It says, quote, President Donald Trump is expected to put forth a nominee to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat in the coming days, according to multiple sources close to the president. The sources describe the list of potential nominees as very short, including at least one woman, U.S. Circuit Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Sources add that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has already been in touch with members of the Republican caucus after news of Ginsburg passing was announced. McConnell, who refused to bring then-President Barack Obama's nominee to replace Antonin Scalia in 2016, Merrick Garland, to the floor for a vote, said he will not do the same this time. He said, quote, in the last midterm election before Justice Scalia's death in 2016, Americans elected a Republican Senate majority because we pledged to check and balance the last days of a lame duck president's second term. We kept our promise. Since the 1880s, no Senate has confirmed an opposite party's president's Supreme Court nominee in a presidential election year. By contrast, Americans re-elected our majority in 2016 and expanded it in 2018 because we pledged to work with President Trump and support his agenda, particularly his outstanding appointments to the federal judiciary. Once again, we will keep our promise, he continued. President Trump's nominee will receive a vote on the floor of the U.S. Senate. And so there you have it. We're going to get a vote. We're going to get a nominee. We're going to get a vote. And I have to say that Amy Barrett would not be the worst pick in the world. I was opposed to her at first. This was, I think, in 2019. Was the Kavanaugh hearing, was that 2019 or 2018? I can't remember. It's funny how that goes. I think it was 2019, right? In any case, when they were trying to replace Anthony Kennedy, whether it was last year or the year before, Amy Barrett was on the short list. And I said, I don't want Amy Barrett. I said, you know, she is Catholic and she does appear to be conservative. I said, but we don't know how she's going to be on immigration. I said, and that's a problem. And more than that, she's a woman. And I don't honestly like the idea of a woman on the court. And I'll expand on that in a moment. But I said, I don't think that's such a good idea. I said, probably Kavanaugh is the best. And Kavanaugh was the best selection because if you looked at some of his previous rulings, he was solid on immigration. He was solid on, I think, trade. There was something economic I remember that he ruled on that was good. And lastly, he was very good on the powers of the president. He would be a good bulwark for the president against challenges by the Democratic House majority and other challenges to the president's authority during the impeachment and, of course, during the re-election. So I said, Kavanaugh is probably the best. Now, since that happened, Kavanaugh's been okay. He's been better than Gorsuch, for sure. He's been pretty solid. In addition to that, we've had a few cases where Amy Barrett has ruled on immigration, and she appears to be solid. So I think she's a good choice. Catholic, conservative, proven record now in immigration. I think she'd be a good selection. So if she were to be put forward by Trump, if there were a vote on the Senate floor, we're most of the way there. The problem, however, is, and I'm going to try and pull this up here. I think Scott had a tweet thread about this. I'll pull it up here. So Scott is tracking all of the different senators. Like I said, it's a very precarious vote in the Senate. Like I said about the process, we've got Trump who picks a nominee. The nominee goes to the Senate for a hearing. We have to have the Senate Majority Leader bring it to a vote. And then, of course, we have to have a majority of senators vote to confirm the judge in the confirmation process. So the president's going to pick a nominee. The Senate Majority Leader will bring that person to a vote. Now we have to look at the Senate Republicans. And like I said earlier, we have a very slim margin in the Senate. Like I said, I don't know exactly. Somebody tell me. I think we need, our majority is 52, I believe. I believe there's 52 Republicans in the Senate. And so if you need 51 for a majority, you can't have more than a few abstentions or no votes from Republicans. So Scott does this thread. Thankfully, it's 53. People are saying it's 53. Okay, it's 53. So we can't have more than two or three people vote no or abstaining. We need 51 yes votes. That means we can only really realistically afford two. Well, I guess because Trump is the president, Mike Pence is technically the president of the Senate, so he would be the tiebreaker. So I guess you could have three at most. You could have 50 plus one, the tiebreaker, Mike Pence. So you have three that can abstain or vote no. That's how it works. And so Scott did this nice thread for us here while I was celebrating and being happy and everything. Scott was doing this hard work and showing us how these different Republicans are speaking out about this, how we can predict they might vote. So this is our thread from Scott. It says, Republicans probably can't get someone through by the election. Collins and Romney are definitely going to be opposed. There will probably be two or three other Republicans who will oppose. Murkowski has already said she will not vote to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, who is a woman. She says already she will not vote for a replacement. So now we're down to 52 Republicans. Susan Collins from Maine says that she will not vote for a Supreme Court justice in October. She says, I think that's too close. I really do. She'd oppose seating a justice in the lame duck if there's a change in presidents. So she won't even vote after the election. She won't vote for a justice until after the next president is inaugurated, whether that's Trump or Biden. So now we're down to 51. No on Murkowski, no on Susan Collins. By the way, they're both women. That's why I said maybe it's not such a good idea to have a woman justice, because if the female Senator Murkowski and the female Senator Collins are the first to confirm no votes hours after Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies, maybe that tells you something about women in politics. We've got three no votes. This is from some Jewish guy who I blocked. Chuck Grassley is on the record saying that he will not vote for a replacement SCOTUS judge before the election. Chuck Grassley, I believe, is he from Iowa, I want to say? So Chuck Grassley, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, we're now down to 50. 50 is our minimum, right? Mike Pence constitutionally plays the role as the president of the Senate. Technically, the Speaker of the House is the head of the House of Representatives, and technically the Vice President is the head of the Senate, is the President of the Senate. The Senate Majority Leader, in a de facto way, runs it, but Mike Pence, it's a little fun fact for you. Mike Pence would be the tiebreaker, and so he could add 1 to 50 and make a majority, but it looks like Lindsey Graham is going to vote no. From this clip, or he says we'll have to wait until the next election, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. And then we've got Mitt Romney, who says, of course, that he will not vote for a judge. So we've got five no votes. I think it's three confirmed, Murkowski, Collins, and Grassley, and then presumably, I guess Mitt Romney is confirmed as well. So it's four confirmed no's and one probably no from Chuck Grassley. You cannot cannot get a nominee through with 48 votes. There's no way to do that. And that's assuming that nobody else votes no. And there could be other people that will vote no too. But at the minimum, we've got Grassley, Murkowski, Collins, Romney, and potentially Lindsey Graham. Five no votes, which is disappointing. So that does kind of suck. And we'll see what happens, though. I mean, these things can change. Who knows? I mean, who knows what can happen? We thought that maybe Susan Collins would have voted no on Kavanaugh. That was one of the swing votes when he was getting confirmed. Murkowski was the same. And there was even a question about people like Chuck Grassley. I know Lindsey Graham was very, he spoke out very strongly in favor of Kavanaugh, famously. But those were even some swing votes back then. Susan Collins ended up voting for Kavanaugh. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. If Trump puts forward a nominee and Mitch McConnell brings it to the floor, it's kind of an open-ended question about what will happen. I mean, it'll be nearly impossible just because the process takes a very long time. Donald Trump nominated Kavanaugh in July. He didn't get confirmed, I think, until October or September. I mean, it was months. It was a 3 to 4 month process. The idea that we would go from nominating somebody or appointing somebody all the way through confirmation in a matter of, 6 weeks? And I guess you could even go past the election, although if he doesn't win the election, it would be very difficult, probably more difficult. So if you don't do it before the election, it would probably just complicate things. To get it through in 6 weeks would be nearly impossible, just in terms of procedure. And then you're talking about getting all the votes. I don't think it happens. I don't think they're going to put somebody on the court. They will not seat a new justice before the election, I don't think. Now, then again, a lot of people thought we wouldn't have a vaccine. A lot of people thought we wouldn't have 300 miles of wall. A lot of people thought we wouldn't pull our troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's Donald Trump. I will leave it open-ended and say it's always a possibility, but it seems to me to be extremely unlikely, almost impossible, that we seat a judge before the election. That being said, I don't want to throw cold water on this, because while we may not be able to seat a justice before the election, that does not negate the second benefit that I talked about earlier, that in the event that the election is contentious, right? If it's a contested election where, for whatever reason, whether there's ballot fraud or there's a legal challenge or a recount or they don't send the electors, whatever permutation you want to say, however the election may go down, the benefit still remains of Ruth Bader Ginsburg not being on the court, because you're still down with or without a replacement justice, you're still down to only 3 liberal judges on the court. Now, arguably, Roberts is a liberal. I mean, sometimes, and maybe you say most of the time now, he goes liberal. But you've still got 4 conservative judges. You've got, Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch versus 3 liberal judges. And then you've got Roberts, which is the swing vote. So I will say that having, at worst, 4 versus 4, at worst having the 4 conservatives versus the 3 liberals plus Roberts, that's still a better situation than the worst outcome being 4 liberal judges plus Roberts versus 4 conservatives when we're deciding who is going to be the president. It's a split court. So the worst case scenario for us, if the decision is put in the hands of the Supreme Court, is that the court is split. It's 4 versus 4. Meaning that there's no chance that a liberal court will decide that Donald Trump cannot be the president. So I don't even know what happens at that point. Maybe the Supreme Court works it out. Maybe John Roberts sides with the conservatives. I don't even know at that point. If it's split in the Congress, because you've got the Senate and the House, Republican versus Democrat, it might be split, obviously, in the White House. It's split in the court. Then it's probably up to the military. You know, I don't even know what authority would determine it at that point. But that spares us from the outcome where the Supreme Court will be a tiebreaker and there will be a liberal majority. There cannot be a liberal majority on the court in the event that they're deciding the outcome of the election. So I have to say, so that's why I'm sort of giving a nuanced take here. Even though we may not get a judge before the election, it still is hugely advantageous that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, because now you've only got 3 liberal judges, at most 4, versus 4 conservative judges in time for the election. And that is, it cannot be overstated how good the timing is on this, because with just 6 weeks before the election, with everything we've been talking about, with how social media is gearing up to steal the election, some of these decisions that have been made in Pennsylvania and in Michigan about how far after the election you can still count mail-in ballots. Given all these weird improprieties about the election, it is great timing that now the court has been spared from the possibility where they'll have a liberal majority deciding the outcome. So that is a huge deal. So that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying. Very epic all the way around. It's a game changer for the election. And what's more, beyond everything I've just said, I think we've covered a lot of these different angles here. What's more than that is now you're going to have a lot of civil unrest here. I mean, you've seen already people are gathering in Washington, D.C., and I think some other places already to mourn the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And that's what you're seeing tonight. But if you remember how it was with Kavanaugh, you may understand what we're in for in the coming weeks. It was contentious enough with the coronavirus pandemic. It was contentious enough with the coronavirus pandemic and the Black Lives Matter riots. It was contentious enough with that and the 2020 presidential election right around the corner. And now add to that the death of a Supreme Court justice and the possibility that the Trump administration will ram through a replacement. I don't think it's possible for the tension to get any higher at this point. The way that history and events have sort of conspired to create this situation where you can cut the tension with a knife, where it's so unbelievably tense all across the country. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the coming weeks. Not just if they're going to hold a vote, if Republicans will vote in favor of a replacement, how that'll play out, but also then how people will react. Because remember, it was crazy when Kavanaugh was getting confirmed. It was crazy. If you remember, there were protesters storming the halls of the Senate and outside, and people were glued to the TV watching the confirmation hearing. And that was a year ago or a couple. I don't remember. I'm going to look it up just so I know. Was that 2 years ago or 1 year ago? That was in 2018. Okay, I keep forgetting. So that was 2 years ago. That was before a midterm. Okay, that was a midterm. That was before Black Lives Matter and before the current iteration, before George Floyd, I should say, before the coronavirus. That wasn't a presidential election year, and it was crazy back then. It's happening now. It's happening again now. So, I mean, we're really in for some crazy stuff. And I wonder not only what the effect of this will be on the election and how the election may be decided if there are challenges to the legitimacy of the vote, but I wonder now what kind of effect this will have on turnout. Because you got to imagine this has just increased the stakes. And now people that maybe they don't like Trump or maybe they don't like Biden, they're now finding a reason to vote for Trump or Biden because what they're really voting for is for a potential liberal justice will be on the court for a generation, or a conservative justice will be on the court for a generation. And that means that maybe more progressive types are now going to vote for Biden, and maybe more Bill Kristol rhino types are now going to vote for Trump. I don't know the way it breaks. You'd have to look at, I guess, based on the issues and based on some of these demographics, how will women, for example, respond to this? Will maybe that is a way that we can make it work for us. It just dawned on me. Let's say, hypothetically, Trump puts forth Amy Barrett as a nominee, a woman, a Catholic conservative woman, and says Democrats won't let me confirm her. Republicans won't let me confirm her before the election. Do you think that putting a female judge in the confirmation process before the election, maybe that has an appeal for women voters? Maybe that has an appeal for suburban voters, college-educated white voters. You have to imagine that that might be a home run for them politically, even if they can't get her through, even if it's impossible that they get her through before the election. You might think that in the same way that Kavanaugh's confirmation battle rallied conservatives to the cause of Donald Trump and Kavanaugh, and I think really activated our base, could you say that we could do something similar here? I think that there's a lot of angles where we can play this, you know. As always in politics, there's a lot of different angles where we can make this work. Not merely putting somebody in so that they will be confirmed and replace Ginsburg very mechanically, but how can we play this during the election? How can we spin it? I think that might be the ticket. And you could activate the evangelicals. You could activate every Christian in this country. I think there's a way that you could pull this off where we could not only make it work for us strictly by Ginsburg dying and it swings the court, you know, it totally shifts the balance, but at the same time, we can play this confirmation process probably to our strengths. And it'll be difficult because it'll activate the other side, but I think that that might be an angle where we could really make this into a home run here. And you have to wonder, and I don't want to, you know, I know some people like this, some people don't like this, but you have to wonder, the way that all of these events have unfolded, it seems almost providential, I have to say. The timing of this, I mean, of all the times when Ginsburg was near death or could have died, it happens September 18th. Less than 6 weeks before the presidential election, where this election, for the first time since the Civil War, might cause a civil war, right? Obviously. For the first time since the Civil War, there might be the Civil War. Well, you know what I'm saying. For the first time since the Civil War, there will be a challenge by the states, perhaps to secede, for there to be some kind of a corrupt bargain, like that happened in 1824 with Jackson and John Quincy Adams. You know, in a truly unprecedented time where the court might be activated to make a really consequential decision, she dies all of a sudden. You know, that to me is very, it seems like that's meme magic. That's on Keck. That's on God. It's sort of strange like that, how that's all worked out. But those are my thoughts on how this will all play out over the coming weeks. It's a white pill, everybody. It's Friday, Sailor. Congratulations, you made it to Friday. And it's a white pill. The white pills just keep on coming. And you have to think, by the end of this first term, let's say Trump wins, and let's say that he gets another judge confirmed, this will be the most successful president in history. He'll have 400 miles of border wall. He'll have built 400 miles of border wall by the election. Virtually ended the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Not started any new wars, not expanded existing wars. Virtually ended our occupation in Syria. He'll have renegotiated NAFTA. He'll have beaten China in a trade war, created detente with North Korea and Iran at the same time, created peace agreements between Israel and the Gulf states, which I think may create a deal with Iran. He's cut legal immigration by 50%, created the greatest economy in history. When you look at unemployment, not just the stock market, but by any metric, it looks like the economy's coming back, even after the coronavirus. And then, when all is said and done, a record amount of federal judges and three Supreme Court justices. And that's in 4 years. That's in 4 years with the Democratic House that was against him, with the media against him, with his own party in the House and Senate against him, with people in his own White House, like Jared Kushner, working against him, constantly subverting him. I mean, we could go down the list with an impeachment, with the Russia investigation, the list goes on and on. And you really have to take stock. You really have to look at all of that. Defeated ISIS, pulled out of the climate change accords. We have that 1776 commission that just got started. You go down the list and it's like, hello, make America great again, never coming down. I mean, I know there's a lot of people, well, there's some people that are saying, oh, I'm not going to vote for Trump. Trump is, you know, he cucked, or he's a neocon, or whatever. But that's not true. Just take a look at the record. Take a look at the record of the past 4 years. I'm looking at this among everything else we've seen over the past few months, and it seems like it just gets better and better and better. And admittedly, it got better from rock bottom. It seemed like we were at rock bottom for some time. But since then, it's just been just getting better and better and better. And before the election, it seems like impossibly better every week before the election. Things that a few months ago you would have thought would be impossible, like Trump talking about cancel culture and kids learning anti-white hatred in schools, ending diversity training. Like, it's unimaginable, this kind of stuff. Yesterday he said American identity is under attack. He said identity and culture. Like, the rhetoric, the policy, these events and the way they're unfolding, all the way around, it's a giant white pill. So, everybody, raise your glass. I don't have anything to drink. I guess I have this water bottle. So, everybody, raise your glass. Cheers. We're very smug. Very smug tonight here on America First. It's a white pill. MAGA hat back on. The MAGA hat is back on. And we're slonking to that. Happy Friday. She's dead. And cheers. We celebrate for the babies. We celebrate for the children, for the future of our country, for this movement, for America First, for America. Total victory. Total victory. We're going to do it, man. America First is inevitable. You can feel it. You can see it happening. Now, I didn't have anything to do with Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying, but you can see that God favors us. We are with God, and if God is with us, who can be against us? So it's an epic day. All the way around, it is an epic and awesome day. So good job, everybody. But that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying. We can take a look at the timeline and see some of this other stuff. Let's take a look at this. This is President Trump hearing about RBG's death for the first time. I wonder what he'll say. Let me put on my headphones so I want to hear it. I threw him across the room. Let me get my... I want to hear what he says. Ugh. Let me get my broken headset, which I hate and which sucks. If you get to hear it, so do I.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. I just, you're telling me now for the first time. She led an amazing life. What else can you say? She was an amazing woman. Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life.
Boo, this isn't based.
I'm actually sad to hear that. I am sad to hear that. Thank you very much.
Boo, that's not based. You're not based, man. That was actually nice. Real empathy. Somebody said, strangely powerful. I mean, I guess he had to do that. He had to do that, but... I like how he responds. He's like, wow. It's so, he's so, like, I don't want to say cute, but there's something about Trump which is so endearing because he's like a real human being. Me and Alex Jones were talking about this the other day. I was on InfoWars, and we were talking about how, unlike everyone else in politics, Trump is actually like a human. He, in the same way that we think and act and are real and authentic, he is that way. He might be in a totally different tax bracket and the president of the world. Now, there is something about him that is eminently relatable to everybody.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. I just, you're telling me now for the first time.
Just like the idea that somebody... Because you would assume that the president of the United States, somebody would go and, you know, oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died or something. You know, like an aide would tell him. But the idea that he's up there and he's doing his thing and then he's just like hanging out. And some reporter's like, hey, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. And he's like, oh, you're just telling me. You know, we get to see the president of the United States react live for the first time. I don't know. There's something about that which is kind of strange, but endearing. Hey, that's me, Nick Just Now, based. We love American Nationalist. Great guy. Hey!
It's a white pill. MAGA hat back on.
The MAGA hat is back on.
We just watched
this. We're slunking to that. Happy Friday. She's dead. And cheers. We celebrate for the babies. We celebrate for the children. For the future of our country. For this movement, for America First, for America.
We just watched that.
Total victory. Total victory. It's kind of funny. Yeah, yeah. So it's a pretty good day. I just want to scroll the timeline, see if we missed anything. Hey, thanks for the show. I should have plugged my thing before I went live. I should have tweeted it. But let's see. We got some Jake Lloyd content. He says Trump, 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 Trump. Baby killers hold this L. So true. No one cares. Ask me anything. No one cares. What's this? That is so good. That's us. We're so cute. That's us. Are we cute or what? That's so... Ah, this is giving me the feels, man. I'm in my feels. I'm in my feels. Don't look at me. I'm in my feels. Yes, it's happening. Folks, it's happening. It's happening. God is with us. God is with us. We never lose. We never lose. We're the greatest in the world. This is America first. We're inevitable. We're in our fields, and we're inevitable. We will always win. We will never come down. Good feelings forever. Good tummy feelings. Dopamine forever. He's just like me. He's just like me. He's just like me. Oh my gosh. I can't stop watching it. All right, watch it one more time. He's so cute. That's us. That's me. That's us. We look like that. That we are that archetypally. Buckle up, Jewish cabal broken, and it's awesome. Man, this movement's so awesome.
Bye! Bye! Bye-bye!
Imagine not being in this movement. Imagine not being in this awesome style, epic movement.
Oh, I'm a conservative. I'm a Turning Point USA. I'm a Wignat.
Yeah, whatever, bitch. America First Day's winning. Tap, tap. Yeah, that's okay, I guess. What else we got? So you're watching. This is what I do most of the day. You're watching me scrolling the timeline here. I just want to make sure we didn't miss anything cool or funny. It is Casual Friday, after all. Oh, come on, cringe, dude. Prayers to Ruth's family, dude. That's cringe. Come on, Lance. Fucking Lance. God killed RBG on the Jewish New Year, LMFAO. Rottweiler. Oh, that's a great account. That's a great account. I can't... It's tough when you're on the timeline on stream because then you get the privates posts. Rottweiler. Oh, it's a good friend of mine. He's totally based. That's good stuff. Come on, Lance. Tweet something. Did Lance tweet anything based tonight?
Back. I got hundreds on my neck and I got truths on my ass. Nigga said I'm going, but I've been running.
Fucking piss. Stuff is just piss. Oh, come on, man. Right on. Get based. Get based, bro.
Talk about a foggish moment.
Let's fucking go. Yeah, it's okay. What else we got? Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad we got to see that Panther Den thing. I was calling Panther Den out in a group chat the other day, but that's a good video. That was a good video. This sucks. Who the fuck tweeted this? That's garbage. Man, that kind of stuff should just be illegal. I should run Twitter. I should just be able to take people off Twitter if they put stuff like that on there. Ask for their help, the holy innocents. We literally are doing it for the babies, though. It's about babies, man. Think about what they do to babies, to the innocent. I mean, that's when you really understand what's at stake in this war. This is what is at stake. Look at this. And remember why we're doing everything that we do. Remember why we do it. That's what it's all about. And it's about God, but it's about this too. Jake Lloyd, unborn babies go to heaven when they die, unlike the judges that kill them. So based. Jake Lloyd, today she met a different welcoming party. Jake Lloyd is fucking based. Okay. All right. We're almost done. We're almost done here. All right. Then I'll read your super chats. Okay. Are you happy for that? Yeah, okay, all right, I think we're good. I think we found all the good stuff. All this other content is okay. It's okay. So it's all right. That Panther Den, that was good stuff, man. That was such a... We're going to watch it again. I'll probably watch it after my show more, too. That's me. Wait. That's me. I'm him. I'm relating to this so hard. That's me, wide-eyed, watching the timeline. What song is that? It sounds so familiar, but I can't place it. Oh, wait, we're on the wrong fucking thing. Oh, because I made it big screen to wait. Man, fuck OBS. Sack. Let me fix this fucking OBS sucks. We're in another fucking day. Let's see. Is that it? Nope, that's not it. Give me one sec. I fucking hate this broadcasting software. Can't anybody do anything right? I feel like I'm the only one ever doing my job right, and everyone else just doesn't. Let's see. Window capture. What song? Somebody tell me what that song is, though, while I'm working on that. That's not it, though. What the? Come on. Now it won't even let me pull it up. Let me just pause that. Now it literally won't even let me. It's like giving me the wrong fucking thing. Okay. Jeez. Really? It's like that hard? I swear, man. I fucking swear. Alright, we'll watch it again. I guess we can't do full screen. OBS can't handle that. Yeah. OBS cannot handle that. What song is it? What is it called? It's Better Off Alone. I feel like... Have I heard this song before? Is this like a meme song? Alright, I'm pulling it up on YouTube. We'll see here. Then I'll read your super chats. Oh, it's this song! Yeah, of course it's this song, yeah. Is there like a remix though? This is so fucking based. Dude, we're living in such a based time. Are you feeling it? So that's what that is. The acoustic, though, makes you want to cry. It makes you want to cry. Seeing that little groiper there. The cycle is broken. I like how he's... It's like Pixar. What if we had a Pixar movie with, like, a groiper? See, that's me. That's me all the time. That's me all the time on my phone. I'm like... And then I'm like... What? Oh, see, that's the meme magic. This is called meme magic. What you've just seen, that is the magic of memes. It's that. It's that. That's what we're after. And then this. And then this. Check this out. And then this. Yes! Yeah! That's what we live for. That's going to be all of us when we win. Okay. All right, anyway. Anyway. Okay, let's read our super chats. Let me put something up on the screen. Overturn Patrick Casey. It's impossible. His ass is too big. Impossible. An ass that big, you can't turn that over. Alright, we'll put this on. I'll start looking at super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying, and then I gotta get out of here, alright? Then I got stuff to do. Then I gotta go party. Listen to it, live it.
Our country great again.
Living it, and we're living it. We live in a world. We live in a world. Total American victory. Number one, America first, baby. That's what it's all about. I love that dance. That clip from Saturday Night Live is so gold. I can't believe that that happened, that they let him on SNL and he did that goofy dance, remember? It's so funny that Donald Trump is doing that dance, you know, like everything that Donald Trump represents, this like world historical figure, and he's in this video just dancing like that.
Our country great again.
World historical legend of history, and he's just like, he's just doing this, right? Okay, so that's that. Yeah, we like that. We love that. Well, I'll finish it out, and then we'll start the super chat. Okay. All right. Okay, let's read our super chats here. Let's see what we got. We've got NJ Conservatives says, last year a local Jewish pedophile arrested. This year RBG dead. I gotta have birthdays more often. Yeah. Based on, oh, Jude, it's your birthday today? Is that a way of saying it's your birthday? Happy birthday. Thanks for the Ninjagini. Thanks for the Ninjagini and the awesome comment, which is lovely and that I love. Base dollar with the Ninjets. Thank you so much, man. Big shout out. I appreciate it. Thank you, base dollar. He says, this election season just got 10 times more interesting. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And thank you for the Ninjet, man. I really appreciate it. First name says, so white-pilled right now. Also, who's your favorite Joker? Heath Ledger or Joaquin Phoenix? Joaquin Phoenix, Zoomer. Rush says, fuck optics. Rot in hell, baby murderer. That's not anti-optics to say that. That's optics. Kato says, RBG dead and my birthday is Sunday. Let's fucking go, sailors. Happy birthday, sailor. Hope it's a good one. It is a good one. Paleo Puritan says, fellow groypers who want to be notified when the intro is over should follow at AFStatus1 on Twitter and turn on post notifications. Thanks for everything you do, Nick. That's not a bad idea, I guess. Question for Nick says, bitch ran out of adrenochrome. I'm kecking right now. Yeah, no more sacrifices. Rush says, wrong account. Don't dox a fellow Italian. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I just said your first name there. So, got to be more careful. Johnny Rhino says, tired of all these people thinking a person with citizenship to completely different is a threat. What does that mean? What a bunch of nut jobs, am I right? Seriously, though, Nick, your Twitter's too funny. Thank you. Based Kyle says, the media and Democrats take strategies out of Hitler's playbook. That's bad. He said, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. And whoever owns the youth gains the future. I love all this stuff when, like, boomers talk about Hitler. And they're like, Hitler said, be really evil. And then when you're evil, you do all evil. You know, they come up with all this shit. Stalin used to say, kill babies. And Hitler used to say, do what Barack Obama's doing. Can you believe that? I mean, that proves that Barack Obama's bad. Hitler said, first you do Obamacare, then you take their guns. Then it's Muslim socialism, bitch. Like, no, I don't think he said that. When Hitler talked about the big lie, he was talking about the media lying. He wasn't talking about telling lies. Oh, that's what Dinesh D'Souza gets wrong. The context of that quote is totally wrong. He didn't say, like, oh, if you tell a big enough lie, people believe it, and that's what I'm going to do. He said that's what the media does, and that is what the media does. Not saying Hitler was right or anything. I'm just saying the media lies, and everyone knows that, but you're right. Yeah, the Democrats are just like Hitler, and fuck that. Yeah, we're not about that. Avalon says, white people stay winning. Groypers stay winning. Unborn children stay winning. America stays winning. Let's go. Never come down. Hope this makes these past few weeks worth the grind. The election is going to be crazy. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Negative Thoughts says, ding dong, the witch is dead. That anti-white piece of shit is going to burn in hell forever. LMAO. Hell yeah. Burn in hell, bitch. She kills babies. She deserves it. Sheeny Saba says, never come down. We are never going to come down. Kato says, also, I'm turning 26 and want to RBG myself. It's surreal being on the back end of your 20s. As the oldest possible Zoomer, I want you guys to enjoy your early 20s as much as you can. Your oldest possible Zoomer, what the hell are you talking about? You think you're a Zoomer being born in, what, 1994? Keep dreaming, millennial. But happy birthday. Fearless Leader says, ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch old witch, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Shut the fuck up. You suck, dude. That was trash. Now all the super chatters are going to ruin it. Watch. Watch. She's gone where the goblins go. Below, below, below. Will you shut up? What the fuck are you saying, idiot? What are you, 50? Take that shit somewhere else. Go fucking comment that on Daily Wire. And all the boomers, well, I remember the Wizard of Oz. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up with that. Cointel says, the feel when everyone you love gets simultaneously cured of terminal ass cancer. Woohoo! Yeah. Big Rams says, the only thing these leaked fake statements and tell-alls from former staff show is how important it is for Trump to not let the GOP pick his personnel. Good point. Lewis McPP says, I nominate Dennis Rodman. Ha ha ha, he's crazy. Jay Wren says, big fat ass to spit on the grave of a literal ghoul. Yeah, rest in piss. Mark says, she slaughtered millions of babies. That is thousands of a thousand. That's a million? Wow. I am tearing up from joy. We did it, Kings. We are done coexisting with this demon toad. Yeah, well, watch the toad there, buddy. Watch the toad slur. SDF says, huge W for the death of RBG. Get absolutely nay-nayed on. Jay Wren says, all the adrenochrome in the world won't save her from God's wrath. So true. Prince Bismarck says, we aren't ever coming down and she isn't ever coming back. Burn in hell, stupid bitch. Yes. RA says, not serious and not that it matters, but do you think it's possible she kicked the can months ago and they waited until right before the election to come out with the info for maximum impact? Activate everyone they can after the riots, turn some people off. Either way, it's going to get crazy. I guess that's not impossible. I feel like that would be difficult, though. I feel like that would be tricky, but it's possible. Ulysses says, the feel when you are a night shift wagey listening to Nick quietly reading the super chats from last night's show, and then Kanye starts screaming in your ears, but you can't turn it down because you're working, so you just start crying while the drums tear apart your eardrums. Oh, when the outro music... Wait, the outro isn't Kanye. The outro is the Trump song. So I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. Base Dollar says, did you ever hear the tale of RBG the Wise? Ironic. It could save others from death, but not itself. Okay, thank you. Nate Smokes says, I'm so white-pilled today. God is good. Yes, he is. Mark says, we just witnessed a 351st term abortion. Glory to God. Yes, we did. Cozy Check says, I hope you trusted the plan, friends. God is on our side. We will keep winning, winning, winning. So true. Wincell says, quick, we need to channel our energy to get a groiper on the Supreme Court. Yeah. Amazing Llama says, I know you'll be slammed with super chats from every angle on this if it hasn't been said yet. We have until January 20th to confirm a justice, win or lose November 3rd. Also, I'm harder than... Okay, why'd say that? Thanks for the show. Thank you. Couple of things. Says, Lord Biden, can you hear me? Yes. Where is Ruth? Is she safe? Is she all right? It seems in your anger you killed her. I couldn't have. She was alive. I'm so, wow. I want to join. Maybe I want to join Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Can she take me with her? I don't even care if she's going up or down or left or right. Can I just get the fuck out of here, man? Okay, Joker from Persona 5 says, a lot of people are falling for VTubers. What's a VTuber? And think that they're somehow different from e-girls. These simps justify that the anime girl has a personality and plays the game. It's worse when you realize that many VTubers could just be ugly people masquerading behind an anime girl. No VTubers, especially no e-girls. Is that like when they put those anime avatars and they like are virtual and play the game? I haven't ever watched a stream like that. I don't really understand that. Trilled says, Ruth is going to buy Big Floyd the PS5 in hell. Yeah. Big Money Wagey, yo, with a huge super chat. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. He says, been a while since I sent a super chat. I think today is a good day for one. He says, cheers, everybody. Raise a glass. Well, thank you, my man. I appreciate it. Burp. I ate a lot of pizza before the show. Cheers. Cheers, Big Money Wagey. Thank you so much for the big super chat. I appreciate it. Big shout out. Big shout out. I appreciate it. Thank you, my man. Big thanks. And it is a good day. Today's a great day. Based Boy says, one step closer to taking women's right to murder their own babies in the womb. Tomorrow will be good. Yes. AOC Milker says, do. Hey, Nick, could RBG's chair be filled by the election? No, probably not. MN Groypers says, rest in piss and shit. Yeah. Buck Fuentes says, ding dong, the witch is dead. Shout out to my boy Vinny from the court and his girl Rachel. Longtime AF couple. Yeah, shout out to the AF couple. Funny Man says, broke my toe today, but the thought of big strong babies beating Ginsburg up made my day 100 times better. White pilled. Hey, great to hear. Great sex. Nice. Says, let's fucking go with a huge super chat. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Let's go indeed. Let's go. Saddam Hussein says, now I have to move. Jimmy Fallon laugh. No, that's not funny, though. Freedom Forever says, started law school last week, and we have so many left-wing student groups, but all conservatives have is the Federalist Society, a Catholic group, and a generic Christian group. It's a top law school and full of radical leftists. I fear for America. Oh, no. Universities are left-wing? What the heck? What the... Man, this is crazy. Tell me more. Debt Collector says, beware the wrath of God. So true. Paleo Ethiopian says, Jesus is king. Yes, he is. Diligence says, I was going to send an unfunny super chat, but then RBG straight up died. Ha ha ha. Burn in hell, bitch. Yes. Base Theist says, God always wins and has given us a tremendous opportunity. Hopefully the GOP doesn't cuck and blow it. I think we'll be okay. Dust Rush says, feels like 2016. Let's fucking go. Base Theist says, RGB dead. Damn, Gen Z GOP can't catch a break. They must be having a rough time. Logos is rising. Yes, it is. I don't know what Gen Z GOP has to do with it. Josh the Remover says, piss on your grave. RBG, say hi to John McCain for me. Yeah, yeah. Tenro says, looks like RBG didn't make it to Friday. I guess she wasn't a sailor, huh, big guy? Yeah, congratulations. You didn't make it to Friday, bitch. Johnny Bravo says, everything is falling into place. Jesus is truly with us. Rest in piss. Enjoy getting raped by the devil forever. yeah. Gregory says, congrats, sailor. You made it to the last Friday RBG will spend on Earth. True. Your mother says, S. Yes. Polish-American Groyper says, hey, this is a test of my super chat. Chameleon Commando says, Nick, have you ever saved a friend from simping? How did you do it? Because I'm about to strangle one of my buddies. Well, I'd like to say that I saved Baked Alaska, and I'd like to say I saved a few others. I'll take credit, but it's almost impossible. It's almost not even worth the effort. You have to let them learn the hard way, honestly. There's only so much you could do. Polish-American Groypers is thinking of releasing a song called Groypers Paradise. Another potential song is Groyping Is My Business and Business Is Good. Let me know if you, what you think. I think that's great. Dr. Zoomer says, Alexa, play Hell of a Lot. Oh, an Alexa meme? That's really funny. Alexa, play Dying. Play Dying Inside. Play Dying Inside by Nick Fuentes right now.
Alexa, play 2018 Check.
Russian Jewish Zoomer says, thank you, God, for cleansing the community of Bolshevism on Rosh Hashanah. Yes. Dr. Zoomer says, fall cold air is here. 2016 energy is back, and Trump is going to win. Praise God, MAGA season, baby. It will happen when the weather cools. For Mandalore says, never come down as the pre-stream song while hearing that Satan welcomed Darth Vader Ginsburg to hell. Is some of the most white-pilling stuff ever. Please never change it. Here's $10 to make up for any cringe super chats that are likely to be read. God bless and stay safe, King. Thank you. Albus is fasci Supreme Court incoming. Getting those epic 2016 vibes again. I remember coming into school November 4th with all the girls looking traumatized and me just walking past them with a smug frog smile. You mean November 9th? Okay. Moody Mungo says, let the joyous news be spread. The Wicked Witch. Stop with the fucking Wicked Witch thing. It's not funny. Real Greg James Beam says, let's go. Let's go. Base Dollar says, Trump Nation rising. Thanks for the Ninjet Man. Trump Nation is rising. This is Trump Nation, bitch. Trump Nation, and you're going to jail right now. And you're going to jail. This is Trump Nation, and you're under arrest. Or we'll kill you. Kidding. Oh, we're not killing anybody. But this is Trump Nation, and you're living in it now and forever. Kook Masters, as I can smell, total victory. We live and die for the King of America, Donald Trump. Let's go. Do not Roman salute. Please do not Roman salute the King of America. Cointel Pepe says, 1 billion babies just smiled. Fred Groyp, since his RBG, took a look at the picture of Trump with the cheesesteak and died immediately. Yes, funny. Dad Taco says, r/behold the master ace is a joke, since they try to mock ugly white people, yet they have pics of Brittany Venti, who is mixed race, and they tried to mock you, a handsome Afro-Latino. Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm not even white. I'm African and Mexican. Spexo says, RBG... once spoke out against letting a public park have a cross, but was fine with a menorah. She loved abortion and hated Jesus. S. Yeah, she's in hell. Inevitable AF with a Ninjet. Thank you so much. He says, God is good. Have a great weekend, Nicholas. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the Ninjet. God is good. You have a great weekend as well. We're already having a great weekend. Ben says, man, I hope Ginsburg will get harassed by George Floyd in hell. Oh, I see you're taking my joke. Walk says, rot in hell, RBG. Pray for a good super chat pick, a Supreme Court pick. That's what SC stands for. That will end gay marriage and abortion. Shout out Boston Groypers. Yes. Radio says, rest in hell, MAGA. Vegemite Groypers says, g'day, King. First super chat, when you say on and off that you're tired or slumping recently, and then turn around to bring so high energy and hilarious content daily is inspiring and helps me push myself. You deserve the world, King. God bless. Well, thank you. I'm glad I inspire you. It's not easy. It's tough. But I do what I have to do. I do what must be done. What did Bill O'Reilly say? Neither pleasure nor pain. Awoken Americans says, did you see? My allergies are... man, are killing me. My voice is gone. I want to break this over my head. Awoken Americans says, did you see Chuck Schumer's tweet? He said that this vacancy should not be filled until we get a new president. What? That is so news. That's information I didn't know. The Dems are already on the move. Oh my gosh. They'll do whatever it takes to stop Trump from nominating a third judge. Really? Really? They will? What? Fucking shut it. Shut your fucking pie hole. I'm sorry. I'm just really pissed off, in case you couldn't tell all of a sudden. My allergies, my voice is gone, and then I gotta read all this garbage. I gotta read this gutter garbage. RA says, not fair, don't care. Hell yeah. Shellen Marlite says, Ginsburg death is more than abortion and guns. Axio said, Trump wins by a landslide, but mail-ins will give Biden a victory. Trump doesn't concede, it goes to a court. Yeah, we kind of talked about that. Thanks for telling us, though. Base Dollars says, McConnell just pledged to allow and hold the vote for Trump's appointment. Really? He did? Enemy AC 130. I love when people live super chat the show, and then, like, you know, and then I read these at the end. Let's see. Enemy AC 130 says, not watching live, so I don't know if you mentioned it yet. more of this. But this election could be decided by the Supreme Court. Oh, it could. You're telling me it could? Oh, my gosh. Man, that's crazy. That's so... I wish I had thought of that. No, I'm kidding. I'm only joking. Can I just wrap this around my neck? Will this fit around my neck? Am I the asshole if I wrap this around my neck? Okay, anywhere... Where was I? Patrick Casey. Patrick Casey says, hey, King, love the show. Watching it with my wife. She wants to know, is Donald Trump based? Oh, thank you, Patrick. Well, thank you so much, Patrick. Well, tell your wife to shut up. No, I'm just joking. I love Patrick Casey's wife. She's hot. She's hot. She's lucky. She's a lucky woman. That dumper walking around that house. I'm just messing. Thanks for the guinea, Patrick. I appreciate it. Do we love Patrick Casey? Do we love that guy? And the only thing I love more than Patrick Casey is Patrick Casey's smoking smoke show. Anyway, I'm jealous. My wife is a dog compared to Patrick Casey's wife. I tell my wife, I'm like, why can't you work out like Patrick Casey's wife? You fat pig. You fat, disgusting slob. Why can't you look like Patrick Casey's wife? My wife is a dog of a woman, I tell you. No, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. We're both based celibate. I don't know about him. I am. We're both based. Yeah, I think he is. We're both based incels. Right, Patrick? Me and Patrick, incels. Incel. Incel nation. Okay. So thanks for the Ninja Genie. Chakurai says, missed most of tonight's show, assuming you killed it as always. Co-workers were crying over RBG. Yeah, good. I drink liberal tears. They're delicious. Liberal tears. I'm bathing in them. Cool Cuz says, made an account just for the occasion. What an exciting night. S on RBG. Yeah. Groiper Grifter says, Mitt Romney, a Mormon, has already said he will not vote to replace Ginsburg. Everyone keeps saying Mormons are so based in trad, but I just can't see it. I'm with you on that. And frankly, I'm with you on that one. What's going on? Why don't you reel in Mitt Romney over there? Woof says, apologies on behalf of Alaska. We make up for it with Don Young and our 6-9 governor. Yeah, and Baked Alaska, of course. And our favorite live streamer. Our favorite IRL live streamer. Kozer says, I'm starting to see what Papa John meant when he said stay tuned earlier this year. Papa John said the day of reckoning. Yeah, pulling the strings behind everything. Base Dollar says, everybody just bought guns because of Floyd. They're too A-pilled. A conservative justice equals guns. Yes. Nicker says, shout out to all the Groypers who are uploading clips of Nick on YouTube. Big impact. Spread the word. Very true. Yeah, thank you to all those people. Maxi Stoneman, White Pill Pro, everybody. AF Highlights. Snarf says, I'm melting. What a world. Will you stop with that? Cointel, Pepe says, Supreme Arch Justice, the Honorable Tom Roe v. Wade has got to go. Cotton, boom. Yeah, I don't know about Tom Cotton. I guess he's okay. Med Monkey says, she finally ran out of adrenochrome. Yeah. Portland Groyper says, I truly believe that even Trump missed a lot of opportunities. God still gives us one. MAGA. Yeah, that's true. Antifa Skateboard says, God is with us. America first. Thank you for the ninja. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. The Ninjet squadrons have been out of control. Thank you so much. Winston says, Ginsburg was a traitor, but so was Scalia. No, wrong. He was best friends with Ginsburg and Dick Cheney. He made it illegal to execute people for rape or if they were underage or related. So what? He has one bad call and the guy, oh, he's a traitor. What have you done? Mad Monkey says, boom. Or he says, doom. But it's a giant fetus in the Doom Guy suit doing glory kills on RBG for eternity. Ha ha. Base Captain says, God committed to a SCOTUS juice cleanse. Okay, shut the fuck up. Ryan says, thought Groiper War yesterday would be the week's most epic night. Should have known Ben Shapiro and company would be such duds and so cringe. Truly an epic show this night, King. Thank you. Boomer Doomer says, we even have the orcas backing the movement and attacking migrant ships in Europe. God is with us. AF Goy says, hi, Nick. The first Groiper War saved me from Wignat hell I was living in. I've seen so many other right-wing figures rise and fall. You give me so much hope. Keep the fight going and never quit. Well, thank you so much, man. I never will. Glad to hear it. I'm glad you're with us. And yes, you're called AF Goy. I don't know, man. Maybe you got to work on the name, workshop the name a little bit. But hey, glad that you're with us. Dove Larone says, congratulations, Sailor. RBG is dead. Best Friday ever. Polish American says, I am kecking. Today, Nick responds to my gift. And a dumb bitch dies. Ooh wee, this is epic style. LOL, I guess your Jewish god, a.k.a. Satan, didn't save you. LOL, burn in hell, keck. Very true. Panther Den, 90s dance check, says FF. Fellow cringe millennials taking a swell trip down memory lane to Alice DJ, Better Off Alone. Well, I like that song. Gamer Nats is RBG dead, making bank from crypto, and it's Friday, I can't stop catching W's. Well, thank you, GamerNat. Hey, and be nice to Jaden, GamerNat. Be nice to Jaden. Thanks for the super chat. We love GamerNat. But be nice to my friend Jaden. You're always picking on him. I just got to tell you that. I got to stick up for my buddy over there. But thanks. Yeah, keep catching W's. But hey, be nice. But be nice to my buddy. Saxum says, hey, Nick, what's your favorite city you visited in Florida? Let's go. And enjoy your weekend. Probably St. Petersburg. I've been to St. Petersburg, Tampa, Miami, and Orlando, and West Palm Beach. And I would probably say St. Petersburg first, and then like West Palm Beach I liked. I don't like Miami. I don't like Orlando. Tampa was okay. But that's how I would rank it. Base Crusader says, I'm not mourning RBG's death. Because our enemies wouldn't hesitate to crucify us. Never forget that. Exactly. Jake Adams says, the bitch is dead. Post crabs. Yeah. Based Anglo says, my wife's son won't stop screaming based. Now Tyrone is punishing him. How can we end domestic violence from streamers? Maybe, like, just you log off forever? What if you just logged off? Freaking John says, I had a fellow conservative imply that he, unlike myself, would go to heaven. Because I was being impolite to blue-haired plebs. Bro, being complicit in baby murder gets you in hell. Stay losing. Yeah, good point. Classical conservatives as RBG was going to hell regardless of what she voted for in the Supreme Court. Dumb bitch. Very true. I'm running out of breath. Because I'm trying to fly through 100 pages of this stuff, which I love. Based Leaf says, hello from Canada. Hello. Groiper Wave says, W. Based Captain says, strap up for the greatest political bloodbath in American history. Burn in hell, RBG. Yep. Inferno says, who else is having a dance party at home? Big Chungus. Yes. Volk says, haha, I am loving the energy tonight. Accidentally opened your stream in line for food and didn't have my headphones in. Hitler said, first you take their guns, then it's Muslim socialism, bitch. Reverberated in this hall. So getting fired, LOL. Well, don't do that. Don't open the show at work. Not a good idea. You gotta go under the bed and lock your doors, close your blinds, and then you could put it at like one volume, you know, number one volume on your iPhone. That's how you can watch the show. Mr. Wagey says, loving the energy tonight. The song in the Panther Den video is an acoustic cover of Better Off Alone. Oh, thank you. Volks, I just wanted to say how much your show means to a lot of us. Would donate more if I could. Love being a part of something great. America First is inevitable indeed. The world will hopefully right itself soon. Also, not trying to be a tart if I missed it, but how did you break your headset? Sorry, us wagees live life on replay mode. I literally laughed out loud when I first saw you wearing it like that. Anyway, thanks for the show. Here's money. I don't even know. I tried to put it on over my hat, and I guess it just broke. So, those headsets are so delicate. It's like you just yank it the wrong way. Oh, broken? Really? I can't put it on over my head without it breaking? Like, I don't know. But hey, thank you so much, man. I do understand a lot of you guys really love the show, and I'm glad to be a part of it. A part of something that means a lot to people. So I appreciate it. It's not about the money. It's about the vibe, you know. Krusty Oreo says, do you think someone like RBG gets to the end of life asking for forgiveness for lives she ended? I don't know. Nobody knows what's in her heart. It's between her and God. Not Nuke Telly says, RBG is retribution for RGC. Yeah, that's right. They take one of ours, we take one of theirs. And, like, I'm being ironic, I'm not being serious. Caesar says, okay. Kraft Crusader says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Proverbs 11:10. Case closed. We're justified. Big Globes has replaced RBG with RGC. Mangos has been blasting Party Rock Anthem all night for this epic win. Love it. Nick Calling says, great show. You probably already heard, but Dr. Drew had to sedate Adam Carolla's son after yesterday's stream with Shapiro. He seemed to be in trance, screaming Groiper while staring at Prager and the others. Excuse me if cringe. Yeah, it's kind of right there. Duke says, haven't sent a super chat in a while, but figure this would be as good a time as any. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Antic says, I was listening to a replay of Ave Maria from the RNC when the news about Ginsburg broke. God is winning. He won. It's past tense. He already did win. Human Garbage says, back to hell from whence thou came. Cracking a cold one tonight. Cheers, Groypers. Yes, very good. G. Roy says, Glenn's death scene, except it's Trump and Ruth Ginsburg. What's Glenn? I don't know what Glenn means. Poo Poo says, you know the Supreme Court could play a role in this election? Oh, can it? B. Squad says, first ever super chat. I want to say thanks for all you do for the movement. The right would literally be over without people like you. Keep it up, King. In the meantime, I'm going to take a massive shit on RBG's grave. Base. Well, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Phil Barker says, Nick, I've been watching all the past AF content on NicholasJFuentes.com. Your takes are not only entertaining and insightful, but also very educational when it comes to history and society. For only $5 a month, it is a really great deal. I know, it's a great deal. Chicken Strip Basket King with a big super chat. Thank you so much. He says, RGB's dying wish was, my most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed. What a dumb dying wish. Anyway, we raise up our glasses against evil forces. Yes, we do. I don't like that song, but yes, we do. Very based. Thanks for the big super chat, buddy. I appreciate it. And it's true. Yeah, who gives a shit about your dying wish, bitch? You're dead. Who cares? You're dead and you killed babies. You could save it. Simp Exterminator says, was watching the AJ interview today. He's the only person whose interrupting habit makes him more endearing. Also, I pray to God that the GOP doesn't nominate Open Borders James Ho, but knowing them, they might. Well, why would you say that? Say that tomorrow. Wincell says, is this related to the price of Chainlink dropping? Is Sergey doing all right? I don't know what that means. MC says, keep pushing the hot buttons. Mike says, you should make Better Off Alone part of your intro. That song is a bop. At least play it in the background. Yeah, maybe. Winston says, for those in the know, Gino's cheesesteaks suck. Pat's is okay. DeLisandro's is actually really good, though. And yes, you can only get good cheesesteaks in the Delaware Valley region. Yeah, no one cares about cheesesteaks, dude. No one cares about cheesesteaks. Chicago's better than every city in Pennsylvania and Delaware put together, okay? No one cares about Gino's cheesesteaks. We care about Portillo's Italian beef, okay? And Al's beef, we care about that. We care about deep dish pizza and regular pizza. And we care about hot dogs with mustard and relish. And no one cares about Pats and Geno's and Delaware. No one, who cares about Delaware? We care about Chicago here, okay? See, I don't know who was talking about Delaware. We're talking about Chicago. Caesar says the clip where Trump hears the news for the first time and tiny dancers playing in the background proves life is a movie and Trump is the star. Trump is the main character. Ben says, I'm the Burger King. I'm the real American patriot. I can't get over that. That's such a great moment. MCM says, Ginsburg was evil. Yes. Groiper Grifter says, so much Mormon cope in chat after you read my chat. Mitt is not a real Mormon, they say. Hey, if you make us own Pope Francis, you have to own him. Only fair. I don't have a problem with Mormons. I'm not Mormon. But Mitt Romney sucks. So I'll just say that. Okay, all right. That's our last super chat. Wow, what a great show. Ending a great week here. And we did it. And we're the real American patriots. Great job, everybody. Great job. We did it. So thanks so much for watching. Thanks for being a part of an historic night, historic moment in history. And we spent it together. So it was a lot of fun. She's dead, and now we see what comes next. Probably troubles, you know? But we can have this night, but we can have a great night. So that's our show tonight. Remember to follow this channel. Remember to check out my website. Go to NicholasJFuentes.com. Just $5 a month, you can access the entire archive, every episode of the show, over 1,400 hours of content, so do check that out. Remember, I'm on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters in particular. And I'll do the chest tonight. Let's do a chest. Let's fucking go. Let's do a chest. A special thanks and a special shout out to our top super chatters tonight. In particular, Based Dollar. Huge super chats. Thank you, man. But a special and a big thanks to Base Dollar, Big Money Wagey, Great Sex, Inevitable AF, Antifa Skateboard, and Chicken Strip Basket King. A big thanks to all of them. A special thanks to all of them. But thanks to everybody that watches the show. Thanks to everybody that subscribes. Thanks to everybody that watches. We love you, and I will see you on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and have a great rest of your evening.